Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Indian food delivery at 9 p.m. is always a good idea in theory at my house. In execution, not so much.
I offered my boyfriend the most amazing, juicy, delicious, literally award-winning peach, and he's like, nah, I'm good.
I sometimes sit inside and watch my Roomba vacuum for fun. I cheer it on when it hits a corner just right. I yell at it when it makes a dumb turn.
You know when life gives you lemons and like you're supposed to make lemonade, but what if you're just not in the mood to make juice?
Then you're SOL, Heather. Have such a good day. Hello and welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, episode 113.
It's kind of an ominous one, isn't it, Sarah?
It's spooky, Heather. This is our unlucky show.
The good news is we're still here. We're still alive and kicking.
We are. We missed y'all. We took a week really off did. Last week. Life got in the way, but we're back. I wonder if... So, I mean, I know that the number 13 is unlucky, and there's like historical reasons for it or whatever, and obviously superstitious, but like if 13 is in a number such as 113, I don't think it counts.
That's a good point.
I think it's just 13. Like in an elevator, you might skip the 13th floor, but I don't think you skip the 113th floor.
That's a really good. If any of you know the answer to this right. Very nagging question that we have,
we're never going to figure it out without your help.
But I'm Heather. I'm one of your gracious hosts.
Yes,
and
you
this
are.
Is Sarah that would, Lane.
That would be me. Hi, yeah. Everybody. We are two women who. We love to gab.
We sure do.
With each other and with all of you. And we unpack the absurdity of life for hopefully your entertainment, certainly ours.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's a wacky life and there's a lot to talk about. And just, you know, a friendly reminder that we're all in this together. So however you're feeling right about now, it's all good.
Indeed, it is.
Sarah, isn't there kind of like a slight fall vibe in the air? Do you feel that? Like very slight.
Yeah, I'm wearing a sweater right now, which it's been really in Sonoma County where I live. It's been really temperate for the last week to the point where the Airbnb guests, the last ones that we had that left a few days ago, they were here to a certain day. And the morning before I see them packing up, I mean, it would have been past checkout time if they were packing up, you know, the day that they were supposed to leave. But I was still like, oh, I wonder if they're, you know, just like going to the river today or whatever. But I'm like, they're really packing up. And then they left, you know, the cars go and not unusual. And then I get a note from them saying, okay, we're all done, bye. And I was like, well, it might be too late, but you know you have the house until tomorrow, right? And they said, well, we wanted to swim. And it's just like, the sun isn't out. like it's just a lot of money to just forfeit.
Totally.
You know, like it's like, was the house, I mean, there are other things to do. You know, you sit around and watch TV and like talk to each other.
It's actually really funny because somebody left early on my end too, which doesn't happen very often. Mine is not as expensive as yours, I think. Like, it's a smaller cabin. But I was like surprised. It was a nice day. And I mean, I'm sure maybe something came up. I don't know. But yeah, like an entire night, like you could have, I don't know. I don't understand people sometimes.
Well, it's funny too, because when, you know, the sun is out and it's really hot here, it's kind of like you need that pool because it's hot. It's like you wouldn't really, I don't know, I wouldn't want to hang out in like high 90 degrees outside, like in the sun. But if you have a pool, it's like, oh, you know, it's fun and the sun's out and everything. Like, I totally get that. But on cooler days, in like the in-between days, like I'm talking low 70s. So to me, I'm like, it's perfect weather. But, you know, to other people, they're like, well, it's summer and it's cold and it's foggy, you know, and we're leaving. And then you've got the winter people where it's actually pretty chilly. And they're like, the pool needs to be heated more. And I'm like,
oh you have that to look forward to, Sarah.
Oh, I do. I do. It'll happen. It's going to happen.
How's everything going over there?
Everything's all right. I get to take my car in for service today. I know. Nice. Try not to be jealous of my wildlife, everybody. It's one of these, it's a service that's like included in my lease agreement. You know, I lease my car. So it's something I've been just kind of meaning to do. And my car is, you know, it's kind of got that everything's all, you know, in the cloud now. And so the car occasionally will be like, your windshield wiper fluid is low. Your service needs to be done. Like, I get these, like, you know, little, like, passive-aggressive notes, you know. Totally. It's, like, next to my speedometer where I'm like, I know, God. So I'm going to do that today. And I'm not totally sure if – I didn't think about this until right now, but they give you a loaner car for the day, you know, so you can just not sit there while they're – if it's going to take a while, which is really nice. But I didn't think about the fact that I have Otis the dog with me, and I haven't planned my – day well enough to like leave him while I go get the loaner car kind of thing. It's like he's got to come with, and I just don't know if they're gonna be like, well,
that's a pretty big dog.
It's either gonna be like, oh, it's totally fine, we do this all the time, here's a towel, you know, for the back seat, or oh yeah, can't do that,
you're gonna have to just wait. Then they'll see that you're prepared.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. See, I'm full of good ideas, Sarah.
Look at me. So unprepared. I'm like, oh, I hope they have a towel.
Just bring your own.
He also doesn't really need a towel, like, unless he's been to the beach
B-Y-O-T,
or something.
B-Y-O-T, Sarah. I mean, don't you know?
B-Y-O-T. Very, very astute. Very astute. So speaking of Airbnb. So I know we talk about our Airbnbs, you know, our rental properties. Sometimes Airbnb, I feel like, should be paying us just because they get so much free press. But
so true.
We talk about it on the show occasionally. And there are, because it is packed around here. I mean, I don't have many days where there's nobody at the, you know, at the rental house. You know, a few days a month, really. And those are just kind of in between, you know, turnover days. And, you know, that's good. You make a little money, but it's a lot. You meet a lot of people. There are certain vibes that are great and there are certain vibes that are not so great. And I, a while ago, decided, you know, I don't want to talk about specific instances where I was upset with guests on our show. And it's not, I mean, because that does happen. It happens all the time. Like, people act a fool and you're mad at them, you know, and you want to write a bad review and then you kind of cool off and then just let it go later. Or at least that's my MO. But and I don't really ever want to talk about something terrible that happened that where I'm like, and here's what this stupid guest did, because it's unlikely that they would hear it, but it's not impossible. And they would know I was talking about them. And then I feel like it's like a slight privacy violation. You know, it's like, that was between us. It's not for the world kind of thing, which is why I would love an anonymous Airbnb blog about all the shitty people in the world that I've met. But again, it's like, it's not, I mean, it's like, you can kind of trace it back to like where I am eventually. And then that just gets weird, right? So this story is not one of those stories, but it is just one of those Airbnb stories that no one's at fault, but I thought it was worth a story for all of you. So
I'm at the edge of my seat, Sarah.
Yeah. So a few days ago, so I'll explain. So the house There's a main house and a carriage house. They get rented together. They're a package deal. It's too weird to have like certain people in one and certain people in the other because there's a shared yard and like how would the pool work and everything. So it's like you just get the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. And some people really don't use the carriage house because they're just a smaller group and they just don't need it. Or maybe somebody is like using it during the day for work or something to kind of mm-hmm. get away from everybody else. And I never totally know how people are spreading out. But you don't always need it. And then other groups, I'm like, I don't even know where they're all sleeping. Like, there's only so many beds and there's like kind of a lot of people. But like, again, I don't know, use a couch. I don't really care. So, but the main house is old. Well, they're both old. But the carriage house has been totally remodeled. So besides really the kind of outside look of it, the whole thing is new. Everything's new. There's nothing mm-hmm. original in there. And well, I guess the redwood walls are... probably. No, I think those are new too. It's pretty new. Mm-hmm. But the main house is very old. And that's part of the charm. You know, you
sure.
There's a lot of like the kitchen's really updated and you know, there's obviously a lot of, you know, big screen TVs and blah blah blah. But the whole vibe is very like old. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's people like that. So because of that, there are a bunch of old doors. But the only really old door that's exterior facing, like if you're outside and you need to get inside and you need a key, that's the front door. It's a big old door. Every other door that, because you can get in a few different ways, there's doors everywhere, but they've all been kind of remodeled or added later or that sort of thing mm-hmm. that you would need from the outside. So some time ago, the landlord... because there's like the front door key, which is different than the laundry room key, which is different than there's one of the bathrooms has a door to the outside. I don't really know why, but it does. That's a different key. And it started to turn into, and the carriage house has its own key, started to turn into this sort of nightmare thing where I was like making backups of keys all the time because I'm like, they're going to lose a key. Like someone's going to lose a key, you know, mm-hmm. and then it's going to be this difficult, you know, for us to deal. So because of that, the landlord, with all the doors that were available to do this with, added the like key code doorknobs, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like the whole doorknob comes off, you get a new doorknob, and on that knob itself is like a number pad, you know, and there's mm-hmm. a code, you know, you press the code, green light, and then you open the door. And so, and those doors are just like, if they, you know, you open the door, then you close it, it is now locked again. And the next person has to enter the code. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't like, there's no option to be like, oh, let's, well, you probably can disable the code, but that's not an option.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, it's just easier that way. You know, remember your code, don't need a key. Mm-hmm. So cut down on all the keys. That's the goal. Can't cut down on all of them because that front door, like you wouldn't be able to put a code on it. It's just too old. Mm-hmm. And it's like really pretty the way that it is. But the others have been updated, and the carriage house door is one of those doors. And so the guests that were here this last week at some point, you know, and it's basically texting, we're not really interfacing in person at all. She says, yeah, the door, just so you know, I don't know if anyone else has mentioned it, but the door in the carriage house, it only locks from the outside. It doesn't lock from the inside. And I was like, huh. So it's a code. So if you're inside and the door is closed, then it is locked. I mean, the next person can enter the code and open the door, but it's locked. Mm-hmm. It's always locked if the door is closed.
Sure.
And she was like, yeah, but it locks from the outside, but not the inside. And so, and it kind of was one of these things where I'm like, not sure what you're saying. You know, do you want me to come look at it? And she said, no, it doesn't bother us. Just take a look at it after we leave. And I said, okay. I mean, I don't understand what you're talking about. And I thought, maybe what she means is that because when the door was replaced, the doorknob, the old doorknob was just a regular old doorknob that you turn to the right and you open the door. And then there's a deadbolt that now is no longer necessary because the new key code doorknob is the whole lock. The door's door's just locked all the time. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, I'll look at it later. So they leave, and the cleaning crew who comes between guests, they're here. And they say to me, there's something wrong with that door. And I was like, I had forgotten all about this. Like, I forgot to even look, you know, because I just thought that she was like maybe talking about the deadbolt or something where I'm like, it doesn't apply to you. Don't worry about it. And she, it's something wrong with the door. So the door just doesn't close. Like, the key code is not broken. The key code, you know, you type, you know, everything works correctly, but it's like it's just not latching closed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's weird. I don't understand. And so I'm like, were the guests honestly trying to tell me that the door just wasn't closing all week? Because that's bad. You know, I would be annoyed. That's like security problem. Sure. You know, you want a door that you feel is like, especially if, you know, you go to bed at night, it's like, I don't want a door that's like, not, it's not just unlocked. It's like if the wind hit it, it would swing open kind of thing. So, you know, we're kind of like, yeah, it's weird. So I'm looking on the side of the door and I'm like, I don't, you know, is it like the wood warped or something? I don't know. And then we find like, it's like weirdly in like sort of a different place, but clearly from the door, like a variety of wood shavings that kind of made it seem like, not like breaking and entering or anything, but like someone tried to fix the door and then didn't and made it worse. And I don't know what happened, and I'm not blaming anybody, but this has happened before where like a guest will have clearly attempted to fix something, which is, you know, valiant effort on your part, sir or madam, but you've made it worse. And then you just kind of like didn't say anything about what you tried to do. And now we kind of have to like figure out the mystery. So, and I tell the landlord and he's like, what's happening? And I'm like, I don't know. Her complaint seemed to be about locking inside versus outside, but she wasn't bothered by it. But I
So feel why like did she even mention it?
Well, because I think something was funky with the door and she just didn't explain it in a way that I understood.
Yeah.
But I think that if her complaint would have been, this door isn't closing, she would have just said that. You know, so it's like something has happened in the last few days between door locks on the outside, not the inside, which I think she was doing her best to explain something that it just doesn't make sense. But now the door is worse. And luckily, there is a deadbolt, which, like I said, just wasn't needed anymore. And that key does work. So it's like the door can be, you know, you lock the deadbolt and then the door is closed. But now you got a key again. And that was a thing where, like, it had been lost at one point. I had to make extra keys. And it was just, I was, like, you know, at the time, you know, put out by it on some level, you know. So the key code was a godsend. And now we're back to the deadbolt for whatever time until, I guess, I can get a, like, I'm like, is that a locksmith job? It almost feels like more of like a construction job, right?
Yeah, I know.
Because a locksmith isn't necessarily going to be like, oh, let me change the locks. It's like, no, the door isn't right anymore.
I know, you have to like figure out, it's so funny. You have to figure out who to call like first, you know, it's like, sometimes it's like, do you call like PG&E or do you call like, right, you know, like
the fire department?
Yeah. And the thing is like mysteries just abound in every crack and crevice. And you're like, yeah, this door is a mystery. Even the door is a mystery.
Well, and it's inconvenient, right? Because there's guests coming. And I explained, I was like, there's some kind of funky going on with the door. I've got a solution. It's going to be way easier to explain this to you once you get here. Mm-hmm. Because there are other doors in the carriage house where someone could kind of walk around this deck. So it's like, this door could be avoided and just keep it locked all the time if you want to. Mm-hmm. But in the past, It's just sort of like a more direct way towards the main house, and people just, I don't know, they want the easiest path often. Yeah. So it's like, you could just keep it locked all the time and just pretend it's a wall, not a door, you know, use the other doors. It's not a big deal. But I know it's going to be a thing where it's like, well, so we have to like deadbolt it the whole time. And if we don't have it deadbolted, it's just like open. And the answer is yes, that's the answer.
There's such a spectrum of people, I mean, of guests, because it's like you've got people who will mention things but don't really care, but they just need to voice their opinion. But they're like, oh, but we don't care. But and then you're like, well, why did you mention it then? And they're like about to leave. And which is, you know, sometimes it is helpful, but other times it's sort of like head scratching, like why they mentioned it. And then other people are really nitpicky about stuff and get really, it's just very interesting. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And there are guests who, I will have guests who are nitpicky, but it's like, they're not inventing things to nitpick about. They're just being nitpicky, but like, they're not making bad suggestions. You know, for example, there was a guest who was like, you know, you might want to just like, get a new pot and pan set. Some of these are scratched up.
I get that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I look at them afterwards and I'm like, if it was my own, you know, pan that I'm looking at, I'd be like, sure, it's not brand new, but it's completely fine.
Yeah.
But it's not a big deal to like, yeah, get new pots and pans. Obviously, there's a lot of wear and tear. You got a lot of people cooking and, you know, and banging them around and who knows what. Not a huge deal. Like, that's like, not something that I get mad over because I'm like, okay, I see your point, right? You kind of want things to be sparkling clean in the kitchen. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, and then there's things like the door where I'm like, can you like explain this differently to me? Because I honestly just don't know what you're saying. And then it turns into this thing where I'm like, well, I don't know. I still don't know what they were saying, but it now has to be addressed.
It's honestly, it's lost in translation, Sarah. It just is.
It is. So mystery of the door still ongoing. You all know I will keep you updated on what happens. I think it's just, I don't really know. I don't know what the solution is.
Sarah, I am really going to be at the edge of my seat.
I know you will.
Man, I'm not sure I could get through the week without hearing an update.
It's like, you know, things are going well around here where I'm like, well, that's my update.
I know. It's funny. So we just installed brand new cabinets in the kitchen of one of our cottages, and it was a huge deal. It was like happening over many, many months. We had to order them during, you know, the lockdown. It took forever. And then they ordered the wrong ones and some of them got, you know, kind of broken in the delivery. So it's been kind of a long time coming and they had to sit in a storage unit for a while so that we could actually get in there when there weren't guests. And we installed them a couple weeks ago and they're really beautiful and I've gotten a lot of comments about it, but it's like, it's a lot of cabinet. It's like, this is a kind of a weekend rental. I mean, some people will rent it for a week, but like, it's a lot of cabinet for a rental, you know, and I'm like, wow, I think we went a little overboard. I mean, because it is really quite nice and we probably could have done something a little less nice. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, I will not have to replace these in my lifetime. Like these will last forever. I mean, unless the house falls off the cliff and that's another story. But yeah, I mean, oh man, the upgrades. It's never ending, Sarah.
Oh, Heather, I know.
I gotta say though, I'm really proud of us. We are all still here. Yay. There's a lot going on in the world, but we made it to today, so good on us. I think we're pretty amazing keeping it all together. So pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. I woke up and it was late August.
You're like, how did that happen?
I know we always talk about this, like, well, that's going so fast. What day is it? But it's like, I am really getting weirded out at this point.
Me
where I'm
too.
Like, it is almost Labor Day.
I know.
What happened?
It was January, like yesterday. It's weird that, but time is such a warp because it's like sometimes things feel like really fast, and then you'll look back on something and feel like that was a really long time ago. And it's like it just depends on how you feel. And I don't know what it is. I really do think it's like how many years you have behind you. And we won't mention that, those specifics.
It's but easy enough to figure out. But yeah.
You know, I think you just, things seem to go faster because you have more history and you just have more packed in your brain. And so it kind of like, it screws up time a little bit. But dude, I feel you. I still have this and I don't know if it's because of a big life change or just like the COVID stuff. But yeah, I wake up discombobulated. I've never used that word so much in my life. Like that cartoon where you're like, and you've got like little dust particles coming out of your head when you get up in the morning, just figuring out where you are, what day it is. It's a trip. It's a trip. But you know, the world, yo, it's, you know, the earth is in peril and all
God,
the animals
is it
need
ever.
Saving. I mean, really, this is why I say pat yourself on the back. We're here. We're making it work. You know, we got to hang tough. And I had such an amazing experience the other day that I want to share with you. And it really made me feel alive. And I just want to encourage all of you out there to keep your eyes and ears peeled for and open, because you wouldn't keep your ears peeled, But animals are in peril out there too. So because humans are in peril, you know, I try not to go too far down a rabbit hole about this because it does really break my heart into a million pieces. But thinking about if humans are in peril, their animals are too, because especially, you know, obviously we've got fires and like we're talking about like wildlife out there is they're in peril, but we also are talking about pets. And mm-hmm. if people are struggling, their pets are probably struggling too. And I am such an animal lover. And the older I get, I just like, I have like a real bleeding heart for animals. And I just, I would like drop everything to just like, if I could save animals every day, I would, which maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. But the other day I'm, you know, I'm doing my stuff. I'm outside. I'm checking on all the soil and watering all the million gardens we have here. And I'm heading over to my berry garden because we got some fresh batch of blueberries and strawberries and I'm going to snack a little bit. So I'm going over there and I'm pulling the, you know, the little lock off the door. We've got this kind of, you know, wooden sort of old school kind of lock. And I hear this little tweeting sound like a bird in peril. And I'm like, where's that coming from? And I'm like looking around and I see the cutest little kind of like a chubby finch that's like grayish brown with a cute little beak, and it's completely tangled in the netting of our garden. And I feel really kind of guilty because I'm like, well, that's our netting. And, you know, the purpose is to keep critters out, but like, I don't want them to get caught. I mean, that's not the purpose at all.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God. And I actually thankfully have these really precision scissors that are like these Japanese, they're really narrow. So you can kind of get into like a flower bed and cut like dead flowers and stuff. They're great scissors. They're super sharp. I'm glad I had them on me. And I like got on my knees and I'm like, it's okay, buddy. It's okay, buddy. I'm like petting it and it's letting me pet it. Obviously it's stuck. I mean, what can it do? But I'm not joking. I did like major surgery for at least 5 minutes. I made like 25 cuts in this netting to like make sure I didn't cut him, but like his toes were like wrapped up in this stuff.
Oh,
so I'm like cutting. He's like getting a little more loose. And he's like looking up at me, you know, and he's clearly exhausted because it exhausts them trying to like get out
of
themselves.
Course. Yeah.
And I finally,
and then, yeah, it's like shock too.
Oh, they're total shock. And then finally I got him out and he kind of fell to the ground and my heart was racing. And I totally felt like that scene in Amelie, if you guys have seen that movie, where Amelie takes that blind man for a walk through that farmer's market and she kind of verbalizes everything that she sees. And it's like, they have this moment of like pure joy. I felt like that. I literally, I was like just floating on air. I felt so good saving it. And it fell to the ground. It was really tired. And then it flew away and it was tweeting and it was fine. Aww. It wasn't hurt. And so this is a story that I like to tell because there still are a lot of good things happening. And even though we're in now, at least California and some of the rest of the world is in a drought, we're probably going to have water wars soon, but I'm a bird savior, yo. And I feel really good about it. So keep your eyes open and your ears peeled.
Peeled.
Yeah. You know what I mean. Come on.
Peel your ears and save the birds.
Yes.
Honestly, that is such a sweet story. And I'm so glad you did that. And, you know, that you were there at the right time. Because it's like...
Seriously.
There was a bird around here. Gosh, I almost sort of don't remember the details of it because it was kind of traumatizing. But, yeah, it was a bird that was hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't like... It didn't seem hurt, but it didn't fly away when I got close to it kind of thing. I don't remember if Otis was involved or not, but it was something where it was like, whoa, oh, no. Okay, something's wrong with the bird, you know? And you know, I kind of left it alone. And then when I came back later, it had died. And, aww. You know, and yeah, it was just like a beautiful bird. And I felt so bad about it. And I, you know, I have no idea what happened kind of thing. And I was like, should I bury the bird? I should bury the bird, you know, because I don't want, you know, so I don't know. It's just for it to be. It was kind of like in this flower bed that's like sort of in next to the driveway. I'm like, it just seems like the wrong place to just sort of leave something to, you know, kind of go back to nature type thing, you know, cars and stuff like that. I felt so bad about it and it died. And I didn't, you know, I was like not mentally prepared to do something right at that moment or even like, where am I going to bury the bird kind of thing. And I just put like a little, it's like a little paper towel just over it. Mm-hmm. You know, just, I just felt like, you know, just like, let's cover you, you know, yeah. And then I'll come back and, you know, I'll do something. And when I came back, it was gone.
Oh.
And I don't think that the bird was sleeping and woke up and flew away. And I don't know what it was. You know, we got a lot of neighborhood cats around here, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, yeah. But in my my fantasy Amelie mind, the bird had hurt itself,
yeah.
Was in a coma, and then woke up and flew away and has the best life now.
Oh, I love it. See, you know what? That fantasy mind is everything. But, you know, I have to say that really lean into these things because, you know, I think like what's really on my mind now is sort of the fact that, you know, our infrastructure, a lot of things are falling apart and I'm feeling guilty about like watering my plants and this drip from my spigot, you know, and taking too long of a shower because of all the water stuff and just everything that we just really need to conserve. And I don't know. I think it's really important to kind of understand that all this stuff is really precious and it's not going to last forever. So
Right. Plant
that drought tolerant garden, people. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on my drought tolerant plant planning.
Well, and then there's parts of the world, you know, that are, you know, drowning in hurricanes.
This is true.
You know, I mean, we've got our issues over in our part of the world. And then there's like so many just, not necessarily opposite issues,
like
but
flooding.
Just,
no, you're right. Like,
you know, all sorts of stuff. It's funny because there are certain roads that I drive where, you know, if you kind of dip down a little bit in the road, mm-hmm. you know, there'll be a sign that says, you know, flood zone, road may mm-hmm. flood kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I always laugh like, ah, I should be so lucky, you know, yeah. But it's like, but in, you know, a different season, you know, or a different year, or a different climate, it's like, that actually is true. And that's a whole like issue.
Sure.
And I don't know, a friend of mine who works for World Central Kitchen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's a Jose Andres, who's a kind of like a big name chef. It's mm-hmm. his organization for going to areas in need, kind of disaster areas or war torn yeah. areas and giving people food. And they're in Haiti right now. And you know, Haiti had a huge earthquake and Haiti is like also had a huge earthquake. I think it was 2010 mm-hmm. That was not even, you know, didn't even recover from, you know, yeah. And it's, you know, in for a lot of people in Haiti, you know, it's living in poverty and substandard housing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, it's just, he's kind of giving some friends of ours, you know, updates. And we're kind of like, you know, how long are you going to be there? And he's like, well, you know, you kind of, because he's very on the ground team. Yeah. He's been everywhere.
That's really cool.
You know? It's really cool. It's very, you know, I mean, Good Samaritan isn't even the word, you know, it's like more like you're an angel kind of thing, like that kind of work.
Yeah.
Cause that's his life, mm-hmm. right now. But yeah, it's important to
think about others,
and and really, you know, enjoy the things that you have. And,
this is so true.
And things change a lot.
Yeah. Overnight even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to do like regular check-ins at that berry garden netting because it worries me now. So I'm like, I think I might like actually cruise over there like a lot throughout the day to make sure nothing's caught.
Right. Oof. Save the birds.
Seriously. It's my new initiative and save water. Those are the two.
Water saving. Mm-hmm. It is true. It is. I think about that too all the time, which I mean, there's no like water saving mandate around here. Mm-hmm. But if there was one, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Reservoirs are tapped. You know, fire season also is, for anybody who's just sort of like, oh, gosh, all you guys talk about is fires. It's this is, and maybe Heather in your neck of the woods, maybe not so much, but mm-hmm. I know you almost have more of like Northern California way up there and like Oregon to worry about, you know?
Yeah, we do.
And so in Sonoma County, where I am, I'm pretty close to the ocean. So there is a extremely bad fire that is kind of northeast of me. Mm-hmm. And the air quality has been bad because of that, but it is nowhere near us. So there's no imminent danger. But There are, I mean, we are in imminent danger basically until it starts raining. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't start raining until mid-October, historically. So, you know, end of August kind of thing to mid-October is actually the worst time. Gosh. Even though you think like, oh, well, summer starts, you know, and things are already dry. And it's like, yeah, but it's when they've been dry for a while. And that's why when I get like a foggy 72-degree day, I'm like, clutch. I love this. It doesn't mean there a fire couldn't start, but it's like, it's those super hot, windy days that, you know, seem kind of fun, but it's like, no, not when you're worried about fires all the time. Yeah. I really have a lot of anxiety about that because every time I hear a fire truck, especially if I'm not home, if I'm home and I hear a fire truck, I mean, it's still like scary, but I'm, you know, I could probably point out if there was a fire like pretty close to me, but it's when I'm not home, you know, if I take Otis to the park or something, by the way, I yelled at him a minute ago. If you guys were like, what is she doing? He's licking his feet too much. Oh. We got to go to the bed for that. Never a dull moment.
I thought it was just a nervous tick.
Otis, stop it. No, he's next to me and he's looking at me like, can you not blow up my spot on the podcast? It's so embarrassing. It's when we're not home and I hear sirens and it's like, I immediately just, I'm like, I have to get home because it's like, what if it was us?
Yeah.
You know, what if it was a guest who like didn't put out the fire pit correctly, you know, or a host of other things.
There's so much to worry about.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'll stop my biatching.
Tell us more about your anxiety, Sarah.
Yeah, I did want to talk a little bit about anxiety. I have a fair amount of anxiety. Everybody does. Heather, you kind of mentioned earlier in the show that it's the way of the world these days. You know, waking up feeling like, what day is it? And, you know, there's all this stuff to do. And, you know, we're worried. And I am a fairly, I mean, I wouldn't call myself an anxiety disorder person. I do have a lot of anxiety about all sorts of things, you know, and I have to, like, keep myself in check about it. But I've had some health problems recently, and, you know, I don't want to get into that right now, and I don't want to scare anybody either. I mean, you know, I'm fine, but I have, and that's part of the reason that we took last week off, and, you know, we'll revisit that another time. But for that reason, I have had anxiety that I think is like, it's a little more than usual kind of thing. You know, I usually can, if I sort of am worked up about something, it's like, go on a jog, you know, and then I feel so much better afterwards. I mean, a jog isn't always the answer, but there are usually somewhat easy ways for me to sort of like get through something and be like, okay, I'm cool. You know, I'm not having a panic attack or anything, but you know, you just that, you know, that feeling where it's like your blood is pumping and you're like, God, I'm really worked up about this or that. And sometimes it's pretty insignificant stuff. So anxiety a little off the rails, and my doctor prescribed me a sleep aid, which is something that I'd never heard of before, this particular drug. And so, you know, and I'm not crazy about stuff like that because I just don't really like to take medication. If I have to, if I'm in pain, you know, enough pain that I can't sit through it, I will. But stuff that sort of like disrupts the regular, you know, circadian rhythm kind of thing, you know, sort of puts you under, it's like, I really never want to go down that road. I mean, unless I'm like dying otherwise, you know, I just like, or if I'm like going to take a really long flight, sure, I might try to take a little something to help me sleep because I'm going to be so uncomfortable otherwise. So gave me a sleep aid, and I took it once, and it knocked me out to the point that I was a dead person. I was truly a dead person. I woke up in the morning, it was like no dreams, no
not
like
one single dream,
not no or I mean maybe they happened, but like didn't get
it
up,
erased
to pee.
Your memory pretty much
didn't kind of roll over and look at the clock a couple times, because I usually do that. Even if I'm not sleeping badly, it's like, you know, you sort of wake up and go like, oh, it's 3 a.m. Okay, bye. You know, going back to sleep for a while. Nothing. It was like I died and then I came back to life 9 hours later. And I'm like, I can't do that again. It's too, mm-hmm. it's too much. It's like, that frightens me. You know, speaking of things like fire and stuff like that, and, you know, taking care of my animals, and what if there was an emergency, and I don't, and I didn't feel great when I woke up either. I felt like, okay, sure, I just slept a lot, but like, I'm like super groggy and kind of weirded out, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, I got to sort of check stuff. Like, is everything okay? Like, I've been out. And, but, okay, so there's that. So we're not taking those anymore. I'll keep them around just in case, I don't know, you know, for maybe I'll need them
again. You really want to be knocked out, like, for real.
But I was like, gosh, wow. I mean, that is, it seems like there are so many sleep aids that could also be in the running that aren't that strong, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I'm not that anxious. But anyway, so I have that. But so that was the other day, and, you know, I looked the drug up on the internet, and it's Restoril, for anybody who's like, what drug is it? It's Restoril. I don't totally remember the generic name, but you can look it up, and it's, you know, it's habit forming, and, you know, there's all sorts of stuff where I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I don't need, you mm-hmm. know, in my life, kind of thing. So we're not taking that anymore. But since then, and that was, I don't know, 5 days ago, or I don't know, it was sometime in the last week. And since then, my dreams, my real dreams, my just kind of like, you know, sober, going to bed dreams have been so insane, to the point where I'm like, I don't want to blame the one sleeping pill from like days ago, mm-hmm. but I'm like, I wonder if there's just something about having gone down so hard that night, and then, you know, the brain sort of working on overdrive since mm-hmm. then, that has made my dreams even more crazy, because they're all, or maybe it's just, I'm just anxious, and so the dreams are back, but my anxiety dreams are, they're always the same kind of dream. And I do have the dream, the reoccurring dream, where I have forgotten to go to class and I'm afraid I won't graduate. That is a reoccurring dream that I have. It's really the only one that I have. And it happens every so often, not that often, but, and every time I wake up, I'm just like, God, why do you keep dreaming that? It's just, you've already graduated. You don't, you know, and sometimes it's sort of in, you know, it's not, it's totally clear if this is high school or college, but it's something that I need to graduate from. Mm-hmm. It's never like grade school, but it's, and that is my reoccurring dream that, I mean, it's a anxiety dream for sure. But I wake up and I'm kind of like, eh, you know, it's that weird dream again. I don't know. But the other dreams, and they're always different dreams, the anxiety dream is always the same kind of dream. The situation is different, but it's always that I've misplaced something and mm-hmm. I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes, it kind of often, I guess you could call it reoccurring at this point, it's that I've lost my dog and I don't know where he is. And like, I'll see a dog, but it's not totally, you know, I think it's him, but then it's a different dog, kind of thing. That is a horrible dream. And it's funny because I was telling you this the other day, Heather, it's like, Otis is not a flight risk type of dog. You know, he's really clingy. So this is not a thing I worry about in the waking hours, mm-hmm. but in my dream, it's something that I worry about a lot. And the other night I had a dream that Heather and I actually had gone somewhere and I couldn't remember where I parked. And it was like, it was time to get back in the car. And I'm like, I just don't know where the car is. And, you know, of course dreams are weird. So all the details of us trying to figure out where the car was like all wrong. And, you know, even the city that we were in was like a different city, kind of thing. But it's like, it's always, I don't know where my things are. Where is everything? I can't mm-hmm. find things. And again, in waking life, I misplace stupid stuff sometimes, but yeah, I don't think it's that, you know, I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I've really got a misplacing items issue that other people don't have. That is not my anxiety at all. But that's how it manifests in my dreams. And it can be to the point where I wake up in the morning and I'm like, even though I realize, okay, no, I have those things. I have my car. My car is not missing in San Francisco somewhere. It's, you know, that was just a dream. It'll like throw me off for a while mm-hmm. where I'm like, I'm kind of mad. Like I wake up kind of upset. And it takes a while to shake it off and just be like, okay, you have all your things. And I don't even feel like I have that many things. In fact, I'm a person who likes to purge things if at all possible, because I don't like collecting things. You know, that gives me anxiety. I don't know. Maybe that's what is going on. It's like the opposite in my dreams. You know,
it's really funny because I have a lot of very similar like sort of experiences with themes of anxiety in my dreams. And mine, it's kind of has to do with things also, but I'm packing and dragging and moving like luggage or furniture or like from one place to another. And I mean, I had another dream about that last night, like where I'm like, I'm packing for a flight and I'm like scrambling. I'm going really fast. I'm like, I'm running out of time and I'm trying to find all the important things. And I run out of room and then it's too heavy and I can't carry it. And I'm like dragging it on a bus and I'm like really struggling. I have a lot of those dreams lately. Yeah, I wonder what that means. If you guys have any insight, please don't hesitate and email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
And we do talk about dreams, even though it's like, meaning on the show, we talk about dreams, you know, occasionally. And it's funny because, you know, when someone says, oh my God, you were in my dream last night, I'm usually like, okay.
You like eye-rolling about it.
Well, it's just sort of, I think sometimes, well, I've got this one friend, before we move on, this one friend who I've been friends with her since childhood. So she's an old friend. And it's kind of her like conversation starter. It always has been, where she'll be like, maybe we haven't talked in a while, and it'll be like a text like, oh my God, you were in my dream last night.
Yeah.
Where it's like, why don't you just say, hi, how are you? Because that's what you're actually wanting to do. You know?
Yeah, totally.
I don't want to hear about your dream, you know?
Like,
it's not relevant at all. It was just a dream. And so I feel that way when I explain dreams, that people are like, well, it's just a dream, Sarah. You know, it's not relevant. And it isn't really. You know, all the scenarios in my dreams are not very relevant. I don't learn a lot from them.
I think it's cool. I like talking about dreams. I think it's fascinating. And yeah, I mean, I get it if you're like, you just saw someone and they're in your dream, but what about those times when you dream about somebody you haven't thought of for like 15 years and you're like, why did I dream about them? And it's like so vivid that you feel like you hung out with them.
Yeah,
that always weirds me out.
Your brain, it does funny things.
Yeah,
I think that the pattern of dreams is really fascinating. You know,
super
fascinating. I know that for me, it's like the whole kind of like, where is that thing I need? You know, where is that person? Where is that item? You know, where's my dog? It's always that I've lost something. Yep. And it's this just like a mess of trying to figure out like, no, we got to find this thing and we can't find it. And then, someone's in my way, and now I don't have my phone. I need my phone to find the thing. You know, it was very. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and not take sleeping pills and, try to do a little jogging and get through this.
Let us know if we have to intervene, Sarah. You'll give us
I don't think you do.
Okay.
I don't think you do. I'm just going to keep having my anxiety dreams, I guess, till I die.
Well, I'm here. You can bend my ear about them because I think dreams are cool. But what do you guys dream about? Are you having anxiety dreams? And is there a theme? Like, I mean, I know for me, I went through a phase of spider dreams, which we all know. You all know how much I hate spiders. Anyways, I wanted to talk a little bit about the future of physical media because I've talked about this a little bit on the show. And, you know, in a lot of ways, things just come full circle. Like, for example, records are cool again. Well, this was a while ago that this happened, but like everyone got rid of their records and some people didn't, but you know, it kind of came back around. Well, physical media, I think, is going to be more cool again, like even more. I think it is, but a lot of people have gotten rid of a lot of their physical media because it takes up space and it collects dust. I know personally I have. In fact, I had a pretty decent like Blu-ray DVD collection and I pretty much got rid of all of them because I just didn't want to keep lugging them around, like moving from one place to the next. And I don't necessarily regret it because I live with someone who has a huge library, so it's fine. But I would encourage you guys to think more about this because apparently 50% of films made before 1950 are considered lost. And it's only going to get worse because streaming services obviously have taken over. And they're owning libraries outright. You know, it's all about ownership right now, proprietary stuff. So like Amazon absorbing MGM, it's like they're going to be the only people that can show MGM movies. So it's like, if you don't have an Amazon membership, you're going to be hard pressed to find these movies. There's this kind of worrisome trend of older films and just sort of really great films that are not even necessarily cult films that are disappearing. So there's a couple places I wanted to shout out to that are kind of these initiatives with the goal of trying to preserve the art of film. One of them is a place called Vidiots, and it's like idiots with a V. It's in Los Angeles. It used to be a video rental store, and my friend Maggie has headed this thing up. It's been a huge bear for her, but she's so passionate about it. She basically brought it back from the dead, and it's pretty amazing. Like, I've seen her progress over the years, and she's really turned it into, I think it's going to be a success. They're opening a theater now. They've got this great library. People are, you know, donating to it. It's like a great cause. And there's also a Seattle-based movie rental service. It was just in the news because, again, like, I think things are really coming out now about, like, you know, you really should try to hold on to your DVDs. And this place is called Scarecrow Video. It's the same sort of thing. Like, this woman is trying to, you know, have this art of film available for future generations. And they have like a huge inventory. They want to preserve film history and that kind of thing. So as an example, a lot of things that I watch and that I might mention on the show that you guys have kind of given us feedback about, that you like never knew this movie existed and, you know, you really loved it and you were really surprised. Well, like, here's a handful of movies that you can't find streaming. One of them is called Straw Dogs. It's from 1971. It's a Dustin Hoffman movie. It's a great movie. Highly recommend it. Wild at Heart, David Lynch. It's not streaming anywhere. Better Off Dead, which is like a great surreal comedy starring John Cusack, and the list goes on. So I'm just saying that, you know, everything kind of comes back around. I'm going to lead into an email that we got from one of our patrons, 2120 South Michigan Avenue. They actually commented on a post about a movie that I recommended called Swimming Pool, aka La Piscine in French. And this is something I talked about a few weeks ago. Heather and Elijah, I adore your movie recommendations. I'm watching Swimming Pool as I write. Not sure who's sexier in this, Delon, that's Alain Delon. He's a really famous French actor. Birkin or Romy, this is two female actresses. Criterion Channel has the English version, and I'm a language lightweight. If you and Sarah would start a semi-regular movie choice of the week or month, I would get a Patreon subscription for my cats. Love you guys and Elijah. And that is awesome. I love your notes. And I do have a movie recommendation for you. And Sarah and I will discuss offline about this choice of the week or month, because I think that's a great idea. We're a little inconsistent about that.
Yeah. And it's nice. Yeah, it's nice to know that you would like something like that, because Heather and I both watch very different things, but we sometimes watch the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think we do.
I'm always happy to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. And so are you ready for it? 2120 South Michigan Avenue, because I do have a recommendation for you. Hopefully you like a little sprinkling of science fiction. And I've mentioned this on the show before. It's from 1968. It's called Je t'aime, je t'aime. I love you, I love you. It is not available on streaming though, so you'd have to buy the DVD. But you know, there's a little mystery there. You know, it's kind of
really
nice that
I feel like I've seen it streaming, because I don't have that anywhere.
It might have been on Criterion. That's might have been where I watched it recently, but I uh-huh. just looked. They'll, you know, they move things on and off. Like, they don't have things, they switch things out every month or so. So I might be wrong, but wonderful movie. But anyway, I will continue to write things down that I think you guys will like. And if you guys have any recommendations, please email us or jump into Discord and talk to us real time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of something that absolutely. That was weird. I just kind of giving it a little flair. I'm trying to think of something that I would recommend, but I have been watching Mr. Corman.
Oh, I've never even heard of
which
that.
Which is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's new show.
Oh.
Where he's a elementary school teacher, but, you know, his life takes an interesting turn type
of
thing.
Of course.
And, you know, and I love him. He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really seen him in much lately, although I probably have just missed things. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely captured my interest. So probably by next week, because I'm only a few episodes in, I might be actually all up to date at this point. But I'll give you more of a little bit of a rundown. But yeah, I think movie and just content recommendations are great. I'd love to do that.
I just started watching that 9 Perfect Strangers. That's like the Nicole Kidman show. It's kind of like Lost meets Goop meets something I read. Like it's a really funny comparison. Like a Goop parody meets Lost. It's kind of like this like culty, it is sort of like a cult. It's by the same guy who did Big Little Lies, so it kind of has a little bit of that thriller, mystery or something.
Nicole Kidman show that was between Big Little Lies and this one?
I know, she's so prolific. It was The Undoing.
I kind of couldn't get into that.
Yeah.
I think I watched some of it and it was just... And I mean, Nicole Kidman is a great actress. I'll watch anything she's in. But
all these roles?
She's a busy lady.
She really is. You know, maybe it's because Hugh Grant was in a dark role. Like he's always sort of like in the romantic comedy and he's like the cutie pie. But like in The Undoing, he's kind of messed up.
Oh, maybe I did finish it. Yeah, because as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember how that ended.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those shows where it was like sort of late night on the couch and I might close my eyes for a minute here and there. And I was kind of, you know, and certain shows where I do that, I'm like, I have to watch the second half of that. Like I was totally sleeping.
Yeah.
And totally. Then other shows, I'm like, I don't really care that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm really bummed because I was on a roll. I watched the first 3 episodes of Ted Lasso and then I got bumped off of my Apple Plus TV, whatever you call it. So TV I don't have Plus. An account anymore, which I'm like,
what do you mean you got bumped off?
Well, it was just a free trial. Yeah, it was a free trial. Like I don't want to pay for another service.
Oh, I mean, it's no big deal. But Heather, it's the best show.
I know.
Now,
it's very cute.
There might be people out there who are like, is it really that great? But most people in the world, I'm convinced, who have seen it.
Oh, yeah, people love it. It's just such
a feel-good show.
Totally.
I think, and it gets funnier. I almost hesitate to say it's a comedy because it is.
It definitely is.
It is, but it's not that kind of comedy. It's actually a very poignant show.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, and all the dialogue is very, you know, it's very, you know, lots of little quips, you know, and... I've actually watched a lot of episodes, not all of them, but a lot of episodes more than once, just because I'm like, I missed like that. That was a funny joke that they like just like shoved in there. You know?
I agree.
Not expecting. But our Discord folks, there's some Ted Lasso fans in there. And I could talk about Ted Lasso all day, but, you know, I'll take it to the Discord because I know how it is when you haven't seen a show or you don't want to and you're like, okay, enough
and
we won't spoil.
We try not to spoil things. So if you do jump into Discord and you're like worried about spoilers, don't worry. You can just tell us to shut up.
Yeah, it's more of a, hey, recommendation. I like this. I like that. But speaking of Discord, if you would like to join our Discord community, we're all really a bunch of nice folks in there and we've met, have such a good day, audience members, and we've really kind of got to know each other and it's so fun. And if you'd like to join us chatting between episodes, we'd love to have you. Becoming a patron at patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is how to do that. Joining the Discord is $5 or more, but doesn't have to be more than that. $5 per month, Patreon level, gets you into the Discord server. And we can share pictures of our pets. We can talk about movies. We can talk about hurricanes and other disasters. I mean,
we really do
talk about kind of everything. And so, and more the merrier. So, you know, please do join us if you'd like to. And thank you in advance.
Thank you so much in advance. We want to meet you. We want to be friends. I mean, really, like, I feel like I know these people. It's so great. I mean, we do. We're like, we're chatting. We're buds.
We're internet friends. Yeah.
Yeah, we're internet friends. Exactly.
That's exactly how this works. Speaking of patrons, everyone who's a patron of us, thank you so much. If you're not a patron and you are in the position to become a patron or, you know, want to directly support the show, again, patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where to find out more about that. And we do have a new patron, and that patron's name is Bo, which is one of my favorite names.
I love the name Bo. It's kind of a sexy name.
Are you thinking of like Bo Derek right now?
Maybe,
Heather?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Bo, it's just like, it is a cool name.
Thank you to our sexiest new patron, Bo. I don't know. I don't know why I like it so much, it's a great name. So Bo,
short and sweet.
Name aside, you are our newest patron and we appreciate you and we hope that you enjoy your patronage.
Yeah. We hope you all enjoy your patronage.
Please enjoy your patronage as we also enjoy your patronage.
We love you. And I think we're going to call it. This episode was so fun to do. We really missed you. And we'll be back next week. And unless, like, you know, I don't know, meteor hits the earth, which, you know, could happen. I mean, anything could happen, really. But we'll probably be back and with episode 114. But in the meantime, you guys stay safe out there. Stay safe and stay happy, and I'll remain Heather.
I will remain Sarah. Have such a good day.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.